things I want you to think about. If you just found out you got the big promotion, you got the job you always wanted, what would you do? Or maybe you got the grade on the test, the big exam that you've been studying for so hard, you got the grade. Oh, you're excited. How about if you just found out you're going to be a grandparent for the first time, or maybe for the second, third, fourth time? Or maybe you found out your son or daughter is getting married. I found that out recently. My son is getting married October, is it 5th, Lenita? Yeah, I got to check. But you know, when you hear news like that, what do? When you hear good news, what do most of you do when you hear good news? You tell somebody, you share it. When we hear good news, we want to share it with other people. You know, when someone finds out that the cancer is gone, what do? Oh, you rejoice, you share it. That's what we always do when we have good news. I don't know too many people that don't like receiving good news, and the normal response is to share it. So my question this morning is, does that same principle apply spiritually? I mean, we're eager to share good news that happens to us, you know, in our everyday lives and maybe with our job or our kids or our grandkids, but are we as quick to share spiritual good news? You know, think about all the things you could consider were good news maybe this past week or this past year, all those things like that. But we have the greatest news of all as believers. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And the gospel literally means good news. The words evangelical and evangelist come from that word gospel. It's all about the good news and sharing the good news. So the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation. Now you think about, well, where do we find the gospel? Well, in one sense, all of the Bible really is the gospel because it all points to Jesus Christ. But specifically, the gospel is the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we usually focus on that quite a bit, obviously, at Easter in a couple of weeks. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news that Jesus came from heaven, lived a perfect life without sin, died on the cross for us, took our place on the cross, that we might have eternal life, that we might be with him forever for all eternity. And he defeated death in the grave, defeated Satan. That is the good news. Probably one of the best places to read about the good news is in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 says this, and Paul is writing here, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Probably one of the best passages to turn to about the gospel. It's the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we ought to be sharing that. Would you agree? Okay, next question. How have you been doing with that? How have we been doing with sharing the gospel? Quiet. We all know we should share the gospel, but it's hard sometimes to share the gospel, isn't it? But if it's the greatest news we've ever received, shouldn't we all be out there sharing it as often as we can with our friends, our neighbors, our family, with people that don't know the Lord? You know, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. We ought to be sharing the gospel. I found some recent statistics about this topic, and I got this from the George Barna Research Group. But in a recent study, 7 out of 10 Americans have no clue what John 3:16 means. I was a little surprised that it was that high. You know, John 3:16, probably the verse that most people know the best, but 7 out of 10 Americans had no clue what John 3:16 means. That's disturbing enough, but this next one really surprised me. 64% of Christians today believe that evangelizing or sharing the good news is optional, that we really don't have to do that anymore. You know, it's nice if you want to, but it's optional. Interesting to me, those two statistics, they're almost the same. 70% of Americans don't know what John 3:16 means, and 64% of Christians say that it's not all that important to share the gospel. That surprised me. That should surprise you. So apparently, the Great Commission doesn't mean all that much today, apparently, with most Christians, because 64% say that it's optional if you're going to share the message or not. We all know Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended to heaven are found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, if those were Jesus' last words to his disciples, how important should that be to us today? We ought to be going and sharing the gospel, making disciples, telling people about Christ. That's so important. Many years ago, there was an Episcopalian bishop, and he said this. I thought this was pretty interesting when you look at today's churches, I guess, in our country alone. He said, in the Great Commission, the Lord has called us to be like Peter, fishers of men. We've turned the commission around so that we have become merely keepers of the aquarium. Occasionally, I take some fish out of your fishbowl and put them into mine, and you do the same with my bowl. But we're all tending the same fish. I thought, that's sad but true. You know, you look at churches today, and especially when you talk about church growth and church hopping, a lot of times you see a lot of people that just jump to this church, that church, go here, go there. And, you know, a church might seemingly be growing, but if they're just taking fish from the other fishbowls, then they're really not doing the Great Commission. You know, we ought to be going out and sharing the gospel and seeing new people come to church, new people join the church, new fish, right, on the fishbowl. I thought that was very interesting. And then the question is, well, why do we not see this church and every other church in town just filled to capacity? And it might be because we are not going out and sharing the gospel. So I want you to think about that today. Are we sharing the gospel as we should, as Jesus commanded us to do before he ascended to heaven? Again, we love to share good news. Why don't we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we should? Well, this morning we're going to look at seven examples in the Bible. These are basically principles to follow when it comes to sharing the gospel. So we're going to be flipping a lot today. The first one we're going to look at, though, is in 2 Kings 7, verses 1 through 9. So if you found your place, would you please stand with me? And we are going to read 2 Kings 7, verses 1 through 9. And the first principle that I want to talk about today is the fact that good news is for sharing. This is the word of the Lord. Then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say, 'We will enter the city,' then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will but die." They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank, and carried from there silver and gold and clothes, and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." And you may be seated. Before we begin this morning, join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, again, for the opportunity to be in your house, to begin a new week, Lord, in your word. I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures we've already heard and the songs and this fact, Lord, that we ought to be sharing the good news. Lord, I know many times it can be hard, it can be scary. Sometimes we're afraid of offending people. Sometimes maybe we don't just know what to say. I just pray today, Lord, as we look at these scriptures, that you would just place within our hearts that desire, that longing to share the good news every opportunity we get, Lord, that we would never miss a moment to talk about Christ. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us this morning, that you would teach us something from your word, and that we would go out here of this place today changed and ready to carry out this great commission. We thank you. We love you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first point, good news is for sharing. Just like we would share earthly good news, spiritual good news, even more importantly, we ought to be sharing. And this first example that we looked at in 2 Kings, the city of Samaria is under siege and there's famine going on, right? People are finding a hard time finding food, and there's four lepers that are outside the gate because since they have leprosy, they can't be inside of the city gate, and they have a problem. If they don't eat, they're going to die, right? So they decide they're going to go to the enemy camp, and when they get there, there's nobody there. They left everything, all the food, all their gold, all their silver, everything. So they eat their fill, take some of the goods, bury them, go back, eat some more, take more goods, bury them. And then finally they come to their senses. And in verse 9, it says, "Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" I love that. This is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. And as I was thinking all week about this, you know, the idea of sharing the Great Commission, how often do we just keep silent? We don't tell others like we should. Maybe we don't feel the urgency. This day is a day of good news. I'm reminded, you know, the Bible tells us that today, behold, today is the day of salvation. All we have for sure is today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. You know, a lot of times I think when it comes to sharing our faith, we're quick to say, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that later. You know, I'll just try to live a good life and live a godly life, and I'll let them come to me, and then I'll take the opportunity. And don't get me wrong, sometimes people will see the way you live your life, and they will come and say, hey, what's different about this person? But to think that people are always going to come to you and start a spiritual conversation, just not true. Oftentimes we have to go. We have to go and talk and share. But I love that. This day is a day of good news. We are keeping silent. And how many times, I know in my life, I've been guilty of that. You know, it's easy to say, well, I'm a teacher, and you really can't talk about your faith at school, right? I mean, that's, whoa, we can't do that. I don't want to offend the guy across the hall. But then I think, well, if today is a day of salvation, and if I know there are people that I work with that are lost, don't know the Lord, that means they're destined for hell. If I don't share, and this was their last day, then I'm not doing right, am I? I shouldn't be keeping silent. I ought to be sharing my faith with others. Knowing that even as the apostles said in Acts 5, we must obey God rather than men. It's not always easy to share our faith, but we need to share our faith. So good news is for sharing. Don't forget that. If you have the good news of Jesus Christ, that you are saved from your sins, you ought to be sharing it. And if you're not, get busy. And the same for me. The second example we're going to look at is in Job chapter 32. So if you want to turn over there to Job 32, we're going to read verses 15 through 21. Our first point was good news is for sharing. Secondly, this is the example of wineskins that are about to burst. Wineskins that are about to burst. You all know the story of Job. In the book of Job, Job endures incredible trials, incredible pain, incredible suffering. But it wasn't because he was an ungodly man or he'd made bad choices. It wasn't that at all. In Job 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil." Job was a godly man, and he still suffered incredibly. And we know the rest of the story, right? Basically, one day, Satan approaches God, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Well, you've blessed him. You've got a hedge around him. Of course he's going to be faithful to you." And basically, Satan was given permission to test Job. And he lost, as you know, almost everything. At one point in the book of Job, Job's friends come to him, which is great. You know, when you go through trials and suffering, it's great when your friends come alongside and try to help. And I'm sure Job's friends thought they were probably helping. But they came to Job and basically wanted to tell him that it was because of sin in his life that all of this had happened, right? So they might have had good intentions, but they were mistaken about Job's life and his character. So first three friends come, and they're younger men. And they basically tell Job, you've got some sin. You need to confess it. That's why all this is happening. But there's another man. His name is Elihu. And he's a bit older than the three young friends. And he lets them talk first, and then he comes. I want you to hear what he says to Job. And again, we've already kind of pointed out that Job's friends were a little bit off base. They were wrong in assuming that it was because of Job's sin that all this is going on. But I like the words that Elihu says here, especially when we apply them to this idea of sharing the gospel. In Job 32, verses 15 through 21, Elihu says, they are dismayed. They no longer answer. Words have failed them. Shall I wait because they do not speak, because they stop and no longer answer? I too will answer my share. I also will tell my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like unvented wine, like new wineskins. It is about to burst. Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer. Let me now be partial to no one, nor flatter any man. And those words that he spoke, again, he was off base when he was trying to tell Job, it's your fault that all this happened. You have sinned. But I want to apply those words that he said to this idea that we ought to be sharing our faith. I love that. He said, I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me or compels me. I am like new wineskins about to burst. And when you think about the idea that we ought to be sharing our good news, it ought to be like that. We ought to just be like new wineskins just about to burst. Have you ever been just like bursting at the seams to tell somebody some good news? Probably all have, right? I mean, you just got the best news you can imagine. And man, you just can't wait to let it out. We're bursting at the seams. We ought to be that way when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the wineskins that are about to burst open. So again, the whole point is, if you've received the good news, don't keep it inside. Don't keep silent. Share it. We have so many people, 7 out of 10 Americans don't have any clue what John 3:16 means according to that recent study. Why would we not want to share and take every opportunity to share? The third one is in Psalm 39. So if you want to turn over there, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And this is the example of a volcano that's about to erupt. A volcano that's about to erupt. And again, if you're a believer here this morning, if you've received the gospel of Jesus Christ, you should be like that volcano that's just about ready to erupt. I've got to teach fourth grade these last 3 years. And the last week of school in fourth grade, we have a science activity where all the fourth graders build volcanoes. And then we go outside and we have these volcanoes erupt. So they have to bring like a 20-ounce plastic bottle. We give them a recipe to make homemade Play-Doh. They bring in vinegar and baking soda and all these things, all the ingredients we're going to need. And we have a piece of plywood, and they put the bottle on there. Once they have their Play-Doh that they've made, they build a big cone around that. We have to let it dry, of course. And then they put baking soda inside of it. And then when we launch these, they take vinegar and dump them in. And if you've ever done that, you know what happens, right? They just erupt. They erupt. So when I read Psalm 39, 1 through 3, I always think of that picture in my head of that volcano that just has to erupt. King David said in Psalm 39, verses 1 through 3, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. I like that. David basically decides to keep his mouth shut. He's going to be silent, right? And maybe that describes you today. Maybe you've been that way when it comes to sharing your faith. Maybe you thought, nope, I'm just going to keep silent. You know, sometimes I think we're guilty of saying, well, that's the job of the pastor and missionaries. They're the ones that are spreading the gospel, not me. I'm just going to keep silent. And I love that. When he was silent, he said, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. It was like it was just burning to get out. He needed to speak, and he knew that he should speak. You know, when you don't share the gospel with others, you're basically quenching the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit also urges us to share. And when we don't, it's as if we're putting out that fire. I'm not going to share. I'm going to be quiet. David said, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. I think sometimes as Christians, we're like dormant volcanoes, right? We have the capacity to erupt, but we're just too quiet. We don't share our faith like we should. We need that fire in our belly, that urgency that I need to share my faith. I need to get out there and just let it come out. It needs to erupt like a volcano. So we need that fire to share. We're going to look at another fire. This is in Jeremiah chapter 20. So if you turn over to Jeremiah 20, we're going to read verses 7 through 9. But this one is a fire in the bones. A fire in the bones. If you know much about Jeremiah, you know his nickname was what? Who knows? Anybody know what Jeremiah was known as? He was known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. As a prophet, he spoke the word of God. And unfortunately, during Jeremiah's time as a prophet, a lot of the words he spoke was bad news. And the people lamented hearing from Jeremiah. He had to share some things that weren't easy to share. And because he was faithful and shared God's word, he had been beaten, he had been humiliated, been put in the stocks. And there came a time in Jeremiah's life when he said, "That's it, I'm done. I am not going to share anymore, because look what it's getting me. I'm getting beaten and humiliated." And so he said, "I'm not going to share." Well, listen to Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah said, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say, 'I will not remember him or speak any more in his name,' then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." Jeremiah decided, that's it. I'm not sharing anymore. I'm a laughingstock. People, I've been beaten and I've been abused. I'm not going to do it. But I love that. He said, even if I said I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of God, it becomes like a fire burning shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. He just couldn't keep it in. You know, as a believer, there are times we're quiet. We don't want to share our faith. But eventually there comes a point where you know, I got to share. I can't call myself a believer in Jesus Christ if I'm not going to share that with others. I mean, that's our whole point of being here, is to go out and share the good news. So he had that fire in his bones. Vance Havner was an evangelist in the early to middle 1900s. And in one of his messages, he said, "Jeremiah did not merely have something to say. He had to say something." That's interesting. You know, all of us should have that. We have to say something. We cannot just keep it shut up in our bones. We got to tell others about it. So that idea of that bone fire, do you have that bone fire within you today? That desire to share your faith? We need to make sure that we share it and not keep it inside. You don't want that fire to get extinguished. We want to share it with others. Let's look at another one. The fifth example is in Acts 14. Acts 4, my mistake there. Acts chapter 4, I'd like you to turn to now. And this one is, I can't stop preaching. The question again is, do you have that bone fire to share the gospel? We already shared that the early apostles did. They had that desire to share the gospel. Even though they were imprisoned, even though they were beaten, they still shared the gospel. Paul also had that bone fire. Acts 4, let's read verses 1 through 3 as we start. Acts 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening." Now, if you jump down to verses 18 through 20, I want you to see what the apostles say here. Again, the religious leaders summoned them to them, and it says in verses 18 through 20, "And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" I love that. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Again, think about good news. You have the greatest news in the world. if you're a believer, right? You've accepted the gospel message. You know that Jesus died for your sins. He took your place on the cross. He died in your place. Jesus rose from the grave, defeated death, defeated Satan, and we have a guarantee of eternal life with him forever in heaven. That's good news. How can we not now go out and share that? I love that. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Are we doing that? Are we sharing what's happened to us with others? I came across this story last week. An evangelist, his name was Sundar Singh. He was sharing in Nepal. And he was in Nepal preaching the gospel, and he was arrested. He was thrown into prison. So, since he was locked up in prison, you might think, oh, that's it. He's not going to preach anymore. But he started preaching to all the other prisoners with great effect. People were getting saved. So the jailer ordered silence, and Sundar Singh said, "I must obey my master and preach the gospel regardless of threats or sufferings." So the authorities went one step further. They put him in solitary confinement in this foul-smelling cattle shed. They tied his hands and his feet to a post, removed all of his clothing, and then threw leeches on his body. Imagine that, all for sharing his faith. And while all this is going on, while those leeches are sucking his blood, he simply raised his voice to heaven in prayer and song. He kept praying, kept singing, kept preaching. So finally, the jailers just concluded that he was mad, and they let him go. And you know what he did? He went back to preaching just that quickly. So even when he was in prison, he was preaching, he was sharing. They thought he was crazy, let him go. He kept preaching and sharing. So that idea of I can't stop preaching, I can't stop sharing the gospel with others. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this point is, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Or I could say, woe are we if we don't preach the gospel. We know the early apostles, Peter and John, they said, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Paul says, echoes pretty much those same words. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. What does woe mean? And no, it's not what you do to stop a horse. Woe. You know, sometimes you think, well, woe is just like, it's just an intense feeling. Well, in the Greek, woe has a much greater meaning. Woe has this idea of judgment, of condemnation. Paul says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me. So he's basically signaling his impending doom or condemnation. He's basically saying, may I be condemned if I do not share the gospel. Wow. That changes that a little bit. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You know, I think sometimes today we get too comfortable. I think many Christians, including myself, are comfortable with the fact of knowing that I know the Lord. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to spend eternity with him. I'm comfortable. But the problem is we don't seem all that uncomfortable with the fact that there are thousands and millions of people who don't know the Lord who are on their way to hell. We're comfortable knowing I'm good. I've got it. I settled that with God a long time ago. But we're not uncomfortable. And how can we not be uncomfortable knowing that my next door neighbor, if he doesn't know the Lord, he's destined for an eternity in hell. And I have a chance to say something. I could say something. A lot of times people say, well, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, sure you do. It's not all that tough. You know, when I was in junior high school, this is kind of neat because this used to be a white note card. Now it's kind of yellowed and tarnished. When I was in junior high school, our pastor taught us how to use the Romans Road. And I'm sure you've heard of the Romans Road. You know, you can get a nice, fancy-looking track like this that has the verses you need to share. It's easy to mark in your Bible the verses in Romans to lead someone to the Lord. But I've had this for a lot of years. And it's really simple. When you share with someone, first you talk about sin. Because you got to show someone they're a sinner or they're going to think, I don't need a Savior. I'm good. Then you talk about the results of sin. There's good news, there's bad news. And then you can lead them to salvation. Now, you share the words. God's the one that does the saving. You don't save anybody. I don't save anybody. But we share the words. So the Romans Road, I'm sure you've heard it many times. First, take them to Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Every one of us have sinned. Right? Nobody can say, not me. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So the bad news is we've all sinned, and sin leads to death. The good news, we go on, we find that in Romans 6:23. First, a little more bad news. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages are what you earn. When you go to your job, you get a wage. You know, you've earned that. Well, it's the same way with sin. Because we've sinned, we have earned death. But Romans 6:23 goes on, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. Jesus took our place if we accept what he did. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were still sinners, not when we, you know, cleaned our act up a little bit. Nope. He died for us when we were still sinners. That's the good news. Romans 10:9-13. This is where, after you pointed out that we're all sinners, we've all sinned, sin leads to death, but there is a way out of that. Jesus Christ is the free gift of salvation. Then share Romans 10:9-13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the Romans road. It's as simple as carrying a little note card with you. You know, tuck it in your shirt pocket. Tuck it in your wherever. You ought to always at least be prepared to share your faith with someone, right? Share the Romans road. It's not that tough. Every one of us could do that. It's not that tough. You're in one book of the Bible, the book of Romans. Mark your Bible up, flip the pages, and share. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else. So don't keep it to yourself. And I love, you know, even though Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, woe are we if we don't preach the gospel. We have a chance to share our faith. We need to do it. The last one, number 7, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. And the last point is that I am compelled by love. We should be compelled by love to share the gospel with others. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, Paul says this, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Another translation of 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for Christ's love compels us. Are you compelled to share the love of Christ with others? That word compel, according to dictionary.com, means to force, to drive, or to overpower. You know, Paul, it was his overpowering force in his life to share the gospel with others, no matter the consequences. I'm quite sure a lot of the early apostles, the disciples, knew that if they shared their faith, it was going to result in pain, suffering, death. You think about the disciples of Jesus, all but one were martyred because of what they said, because of their faith, all but one. So are you compelled to share Christ with others? Or are you like 64% of believers today that say, it's optional. I might not. John Wesley wrote a lot of hymns. He and his brother Charles, the Wesley brothers that formed the Methodist denomination, were prolific writers. But John Wesley once wrote this, the love of Christ doth me constrain to seek the wandering souls of men, with cries, entreaties, tears to save, to snatch them from the gaping grave. Wow. And you think, do I see my friends, my neighbors, people in the world, do I see them as just dangling over that gaping grave? Probably not. Because if I did, wouldn't I be sharing with them a little more? Wouldn't I be trying to share the gospel every chance I got? I would. I would think I would. Again, we live in a world now where it's just not politically correct to share our faith, right? We're told, oh, you can't talk about God, can't talk about religion. What I find kind of interesting, it seems like with all the world religions, you can talk about any religion you want. Just don't talk about Christianity, because that's the one that's under fire more than anybody else. But we have the greatest message we can share. We have the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In closing, I want to share one more story that I think really sums up things perfectly. There was a man by the name of Fritz Kreisler, and he lived from 1875 to 1962, but he was a world-famous violinist and composer, and he earned a fortune in his lifetime with his concerts, his compositions, but he generously gave almost all of his money away. So, when he discovered this exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it because he'd given away almost all of his fortune. So he went away and saved and saved and saved. And later, having raised enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller, hoping that he could buy this beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, the violin had been sold to a collector. So Fritz Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home, and he was going to try to buy it from this new collector. When he got there, the collector told him that it had become his prized possession, and he would not sell it for any amount of money. So, very, very disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. "Could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence?" he asked. Permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. And he said, "I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it to the world and let people hear it." I thought, what a neat story, what a great example of what we have, the gospel. How could we consign the gospel to silence? How could we not share it? I love those words, take it to the world and let people hear it. And that's what we ought to be doing. And I know I've been guilty many times. I don't share my faith as often as I should. We need to. That's the Great Commission. The last words Jesus said to his disciples, go, right? Tell others, share the gospel. I mentioned evangelist Vance Havner earlier in the message, but He said this too. I thought it was pretty good. He said that most of us Christians today are like Arctic rivers. We're frozen at the mouth. We just don't share. We don't share the gospel. So my challenge for you today is to simply ask God to give you that fire in your bones, that fire to share, that compulsion that compels us to want to share the gospel. We need to share. Don't keep it in. Let others know. We got the greatest news in the world. And if we don't share it, woe is me if we don't share the gospel. Let's pray this morning.